Robin Miller, back to back week in IndyCar newses. We spoke yesterday and kind of wrapped up Phoenix and Gateway on purpose, knowing that we would have the Fernando Alonso show. We wanted to focus on solely in a separate episode here. He sure put on a show, and you were frankly the only person, the lucky guy, to get to report from pit lane all day. You got the quote of the year from him talking about brains and feet. So for those who watched the live stream, hopefully you enjoyed it. It was really successful in terms of numbers and traffic. So huge credit to IndyCar, IMS Productions, making all this happen so people around the world could watch. As a guy who was there freezing his behind off, what'd you see, what'd you like, and how's it having being the only guy with access to Fernando for about 6 hours?
Well, I think, Marshall, the thing that was coolest is that when you think that there were over a million people watching one guy on a Wednesday take his driver's test, if that doesn't tell you how big a deal Fernando Alonso is, I don't know what does. And it was just a fun day because Mario and Johnny Rutherford were in the booth talking with Kevin Lee and talking about the old days and their rookie tests and how it was like a bench racer's holiday because Rich Feinberg produced it and he used to work for ABC, and you know, I told him afterwards, I said, that's the way I like to see racing covered, just no free fall format, just BS. When something interesting comes up, I realize you got commercial breaks and you probably can't do that, but that was the kind of scenario that was kind of wind tunnel like, but it was even better because there was hardly any commercials and we just talked about whatever we felt like. And I think having Mario there was so important because he's got such a great perspective. And then John Rutherford talking about being a rookie in a roadster and getting the three rookie stripes taken off. And I think Alonso's whole approach is so interesting, and he's got his sensibility. I mean, he kind of crept up on speed, but you know, like 55 laps in, he's going wide open and 227 miles an hour turning into turn one. And I don't care that the cars are easier to drive and the tires stick, and it was a great day to go fast. This is a guy's first time ever on an oval, and he turns into a corner going 227 miles an hour and comes out the other side in less than a couple hours. I was impressed.
I love the fact that Mario seemed to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, kind of a, and I don't mean that in a negative way at all, I mean it in a highly positive way, about, hey, any of you who've been questioning this guy's motivation or talent or, you know, big deal, who cares? Yeah, this is why. Now you, not only do you see from how many people that tuned in, as you said, on a Wednesday to watch some guy's driver test, but I spoke with Andretti Chief Operating Officer Rob Edwards, who's, you know, the equivalent of their general manager, runs the team, and he had a similar take of, you know, anyone who wasn't clear beforehand, who thought this was just, hey, you know, somewhat fading Formula One star, oh, he's got a cute bucket list, oh, look, they're going to let him run Indy. He said he is here for one reason, not to compete in the Indy 500, but to win the Indy 500. Let everyone be clear about that. So I think between Mario's comments and praise, honest praise, right, you and I know Mario, he's not going to say something that he doesn't believe, but between Mario, between Rob and the rest of the team, I think they were fiercely proud of the fact that, yeah, this is a world champion, one of the great talents of this generation. Any doubters? Suck it.
I think the interesting thing to me was Dave Poplar's Poppy, the chief mechanic for Fernando's car, been around a long time. He said, you know what, Miller, this guy's been in our shop for 3 days, and he says, I've seen him on his cell phone maybe one time. And he doesn't. He goes. He studies film of races. He asks more intelligent questions about race cars and ovals. And then he goes to the simulator. He goes, if anybody thinks this guy isn't serious, they're not paying attention, because he is so focused and so into it. And I was walking back with him after the thing was over, and he was just saying stuff about, I got a lot to learn. It was a good start, but you know, I just feel like, you know, I'm in for a rude awakening when it's five five wide on race day. I get all that, but he said, I'm going to try to do what I can to prepare myself for it. And I think what I like most about him is, I just got done writing a little column for Racing Tomorrow, is I just love his spirit, because he's like, man, this is the biggest race in the world. I want to be part of it. I don't think you can be considered a world-class driver unless you take some challenges. And, you know, I can't win a Formula One race right now, but I damn sure have a chance here.
Got a chance to speak with his engineer, Eric Bretzman, who's just one of the real quality human beings you come across in this sport. And if you get a chance, just with Robin's column about this, it's going up on Racer. Also spoke with, as I mentioned, Rob Edwards and Eric, and put that into a column. Bit of a team reaction to the test. You probably find Eric's comments particularly interesting, knowing that he's won the race with Scott Dixon, won three titles with Dixon. He found a lot of similarities between the two, which you might go, wait a minute. You know, Spanish F1 king and New Zealander Indy king, like, how do those two planets even align? Eric not only found that they align, but one of the things that he told me, which I didn't put in the story just because it was more banter between he and I, is he said, it's really interesting to see this guy's thought process, but also his educational process. I said, how so? He said, well, apparently last weekend in Russia, the McLaren team, and the McLaren, you know, the Andretti team is running Alonso, but the McLaren team's obviously trying to help Fernando however they can. He said last weekend in Russia, for the Russian Grand Prix, apparently some of Fernando's McLaren engineers went back and did basically a 10-year historical look at the 500 for him, plotted out a whole bunch of graphs and charts on pit stop sequences, timing, how some people go on strategy, off strategy, trying to help him at least look at a portrait of why the winning team maybe chose to do this, some other teams chose to do that, just so he could get a grasp for the thought process. Keep in mind, Robin, this is all stuff he's being handed and diving into before he'd ever driven the car or turned a lap around Indy, and he's already wanting to dive into race day fuel strategy, pit strategy scenarios. So when Eric said that, I said, huh, so I'm guessing, and he jumped right in and said, so yeah, he started asking questions after he got out of the car, after we were debriefing, he started asking questions where in my mind I'm like, okay, so I'm gonna need to let him digest some of the things we just talked about. Maybe next time we speak by email or whatever, maybe I'll bring up this topic. And he said, and Fernando starts asking some of those questions, and he's like, man, this guy is so far ahead of where anyone would reasonably expect an oval rookie to be. He knows the questions I know I need to ask, but I'm holding back, and he's kind of wanting to get into them now. And the other thing he said was, you know, nothing right now, especially today, is happening faster than he was. Meaning, for a lot of rookies, you've seen it forever, and I've seen it many times, worked with a lot of rookie drivers who, they go out, learn IMS on their first day, they don't go particularly fast, but at the end of the day, they look like they've been drinking from a fire hose, and come back, takes a couple days to grasp it. And Eric said, no, this guy is ahead of the curve. There's nothing that's surprising him. There's nothing that is happening faster than he's able to process. Not a surprise for, you know, someone of his driving caliber, but how often have you seen that in a rookie on his first day at Indy, Robin?
Well, that's what I was talking to Mario about. I said, I can't believe all the things they're throwing at this guy. He's trying to process how he turns into turn one, how to come in under the pits off the backstretch, how to enter the pits off of turn four going Mach 1, learn how to save fuel, learn how to restart, what you do behind the pace car. I mean, I've never seen anybody have all those things thrown at him in one day. I mean, sometimes, I've been out there long enough to remember what took guys a couple days just to get through their rookie test.
So, with everything that's taken place today, we didn't know what we were going to get, right? Whether, all right, cool. You know, we expected him to be fast. We expected the team to be good, but we didn't know if this was going to be a creep up on it thing or if it was going to be a full attack mode thing. It sure looked to me like this guy was attacking all he could, As Bretzman said, he would have run until dark if it hadn't been raining and, you know, if they had enough tires. But did you come away thinking, all right, this guy has the capability of being a contender his first time out?
He was, again, I think he's such a likable guy, and he's so open and honest. He says, look, somebody asked him, I think, in the press conference, I just was reading some of the transcripts because I was gone. I wasn't there for the press conference, and they ask him, are you here just to compete or can you win? And he said, well, I'm probably just here to compete this year, but I'd like to think I have a, you know, every driver thinks they have a chance to win. But when I was talking to him on the way back up, he's like, look, you know, the last couple of years have obviously been pretty frustrating. We're not very competitive, but I still got a chance at this Triple Crown thing. And even though I'm a rookie and I got a lot to learn, I got a chance at Indy. I have a chance. And that's all I want. I want a chance. And I think if he ran in the top 10, it'd be like winning. I mean, what we just forget, or it's so easy to forget. I mean, Kurt Busch was fabulous his rookie year, but he's an oval track driver. He's been an oval track driver his whole life. Nigel Mansell would run Phoenix and all kinds of test miles at Phoenix and Indy before he came here. And yeah, it was his first year in IndyCar, and he was a rookie at Indy, and he knew how to restart a race. He'd have won it. So could Fernando Alonso win the race? Well, sure he could. I mean, he won't be, you know, if there's a 10-lap shootout and he's in there with Dixon and Kanaan and Power and Castroneves and Newgarden and the boys, it's, you know, that's asking a lot for a guy that's never run one of these cars in traffic. But stranger things have happened. Nobody thought Alexander Rossi was going to win last year either.
So the last real thing I'd love to hear about is, so you're down there, you're watching things taking place, you're seeing his demeanor, his attitude, you're getting a feel for how everybody else is reacting to this. You and I know the Andretti team fairly well. What are you hearing from those who are running the car, those who are looking after the guy? Were they happy just to have someone as cool as Fernando in that car to be out there running? Or were they also feeling energized, like, aha, this could end up being a good month of May?
Come on, now, you're a mechanic and an engineer, and you worked on cars, and you've been around these guys as long as anybody, and it's hard to impress a mechanic. Let's face it. They're pretty sarcastic, and they're like, yeah, what have you done? Great. Next, move. I mean, you know, they just, nothing really impresses these guys. But I can tell you that Alonso does, and I just think that he brings this, and he's the least error. I mean, he's such a nice guy to the team and everything. And our buddy Steve Shump took the Borg Warner Trophy over there, and he was asking him all these questions. And, oh man, could I buy one of these? And Shump goes, well, we'll give you a baby Borg if you win. He goes, no, I'd like to buy one this size. it's the greatest ever. And I just can't imagine working for a guy. I mean, you know, Poppy's fired up because he knows this guy's a world-class driver and human being. And I think when you see a guy that puts as much effort as this guy's going to put into it, going back and forth and studying tapes and going to the simulator and asking, it makes you work harder. You want to work for this guy. You want to stay up till midnight or whatever it takes to get him up front, and that's what's cool about it.
And that's maybe the biggest takeaway I'd say I have from day one of the Fernando Alonso experience at Indy. Yeah, lots to learn. You know, he went 222 and change. You know, there's a huge, huge amount for him to not only learn about the race and traffic, but if he wants to qualify towards the front, he's going to have to go into some pretty scary places setup-wise. It's going to have the car moving around, and all the comfort that he had today is going to be gone. You know, we've seen the Powers and the Dixons come in with their eyes real big after stripping off the last little bit of downforce. So, I mean, there's still a long ways to go. I don't want to dress this up to say Fernando did 225 and a half on his first day, therefore victory, here we come. But we at least know the guy can be in the game, should be in the game. The thing I want to know most of all is, it sounds like we're making progress talking to the right people about getting Fernando out for a proper dinner one night there, Robin?
Well, I told Zach Brown, I said, look, Mark Miles wants to take him to the working man's friend and get him a double cheeseburger with onion rings, and, you know, I mean, Zach Brown just started, he broke up, you know, he's cracked up, and I said, I imagine that it's probably been a while since a cheeseburger, a double cheeseburger with grease dripping down has ever touched his lips. He goes, I'm not sure that's ever happened. But I want to get NBC and hopefully Racer with Marshall Pruitt, we're going to sneak in the side door, to film it because it might be a lot of fun. And I think Alonzo's one of those guys that would, you know, he'll have fun with it. So I think the higher powers are going to intervene. I think Miles is going to lean on Zach and say, look, we got to have this guy for lunch one day. So it could be a lot of fun.
Right, friends, start stockpiling your Tums and everything else that we're going to need to help settle his stomach after that meal. But pretty cool day, Robin, and we were fortunate to speak again with Rob Edwards. Also spoke with Eric Bretzman, so we're going to roll into Rob Edwards here first, and then Bretzman after that to talk about the team's view on this day with Fernando.
I would say relieved that the first live stream test we've ever been a part of went okay.
Very minimal nudity. That was good. Minimal nudity. That was very, very pleased.
It's the first test I've ever done that we had a production planning meeting beforehand. it was good, right? And, you know, why would we not expect him to do a good job, right? As given his credentials and given the amount of time he spent, you know, preparing, he is just super thorough about every aspect of it and has taken a lot of time and effort to educate himself about what to expect. And I think it went every bit as well as we hoped it would, and fortunately, you know, the weather held off for us. We were able to basically tick all of the boxes on the test list. So as everyone was able to see, we did, you know, yellow running. He was able to practice exiting off of turn four, which is obviously something that, you know, as a rookie, he wouldn't get a chance to do up until carb day if we hadn't have been able to do that today. Part of his exploring nature, right, was a couple of times he just came in off of turn three rather than turn four because, you know, he was out to experience as many different aspects of the track and the experience as he could today. So, impressed with everything he did, but not surprisingly impressed because, you know, I think that's very much his nature.
Yeah, I was going to say, for those who, well, you probably weren't able to get a full feel for this because you were busy trying to run a racing team, but all the numbers being quoted by IndyCar and those that I saw on the YouTube live stream and Facebook was a huge, huge international audience to tune in for a Wednesday one-car test at Indianapolis. So very, very positive subscription and interest for what took place. The thing that I appreciated, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about, Rob, is this did not come across as some kind of aw shucks, hey, that was fun, and gee, this is neat, and I can tick this off my list. I saw a guy, whether he was in the car, or especially when he got out of the car, a lot of very detailed questions, wasn't particularly pleased with some things, whether it was, you know, the car still had too much downforce on it, by design, but this is a guy who looked like he was there to prepare to win the race. Not someone who was there just happy to have a bucket list item that he can clear. Did you get that same impression?
Yeah, 100%. He is only here to do one thing, and that's to win the race. And everything he is doing is to prepare himself to try and achieve that goal. No question. He's not here because he wants to compete in the Indianapolis 500. He's here because he wants to win the Indianapolis 500.
What did people not get to see behind the scenes in terms of Fernando interacting with the team, getting to know his mechanics? Just, you know, that's always the reputation that Formula One people get. They're a little cold, a little aloof, but I have a sneaking suspicion he probably fit in with the warm Andretti IndyCar environment pretty quickly.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he is he is not aloof, he's not pretentious, any of those things that, as you say, it's sort of the preconceived notion might be. He's just, he's fun to be around, he's appreciative. I think, you know, everyone on the team has warmed to him in a very, very short space of time, because that's his nature. And for everything that he's done, everything he's achieved, he is just very down to earth, very normal. Just great to work with, and just great for the guys to be around. Everyone has very much enjoyed the interaction so far, and I think is excited to see him, you know, back in 10 days, and looking forward to the rest of the month.
Well, Mr. Bretzman, great fun watching a certain Spaniard show immense aptitude for the art of turning left, and then left, and then left, and then left.
was that today?
Yeah, I think. I saw a guy that looks like you. What do you think, boss? You've obviously spent many, many, many years of your life watching talented drivers go around Indy, some learning it for the first time. Tell me about this wacky Spaniard you're going to engineer to, hopefully, lots of drinking of milk.
Yeah, he'd been in the simulator for some laps. Of course, you're never really sure how that's going to pan out.
Yeah.
And you know, he was realistic about it. And was probably closer than what he expected, so he was reasonably comfortable pretty quick. I think a lot of it was how he imagined, maybe not all of it. I think he's got a very good understanding and very good appreciation for the details and the nuances of the track and the different corners and the different lines. He's asking a lot of the right questions, seems to be worried about a lot of the right things, best I can tell. Pretty impressed.
Interesting to hear one of his first comments after climbing from the car for the first time about how the steering weight and effort was different than the simulator. And obviously, in Formula One, it seems like drivers spend their entire lives in a simulator when they're not on the track. So it's fun to see you and the rest of the team like, oh, yeah, you know, this is definitely, we didn't expect the simulator to be a 100% identical reproduction to the track. But the thing I appreciated, and tell me if you saw this too, is, you know, we've both been a part of teams, brother, where you've got a rookie driver, usually a bit younger, and that first day, by the end of the day, they look like they've been drinking from the proverbial fire hose. Fernando, to me, looked the opposite. And I don't know if it's just the fact that he's 35, an F1 veteran, he's been around the world many times, but this is a guy who looked like, no, feed me more, feed me more. Did you get that impression?
I know I got that impression, because he would have stayed and run until the sun went down, or if it didn't rain. It is not happening faster than him at the moment, so that's good. You know, he's got more experiences he needs to encounter, and different situations, and he's got all of the running and traffic to encounter, so we had to talk about that tonight. It's like, we can make the car a little bit better based on, you know, what we saw today, but you still have to basically start over again with cars in front of you and around you. That'll be his next big challenge, is to take that in and figure out what to do with it. And our next big challenge is to keep making the window wider on the car for him to put it where he wants it.
Super impressive. Guy didn't put a wheel wrong. Killed a couple birds, but, you know, I guess, I don't know what kind of omen that speaks to, but we got that one out of that. Actually, was it on your test list? Knowing you crazy bastard, you probably had item number 73, kill two birds.
He was just showing off getting two birds. We never got more than one. He got two simultaneously.
Well, Dixon was slacking. It's freaking lazy.
Kiwi. We got a lot of birds. We just never got two at once.
See, exactly. Well, all that stuff aside, really impressive day. Didn't do any, you know, made no mistakes. Learned a ton. Turned, you know, went 222 and a half. You guys are obviously, you know, being very, very intentional about how much downforce you had in the car and how free you let him go. Along with learning traffic, we also know that come pole day, 222 is one thing with a lot of downforce, 231 plus with the thing trying to swap ends or go nose first into the wall. That's a much bigger animal, even though we're only talking 7, 8, 9 miles an hour difference, yeah?
Certainly. and we've been telling him, you know, some of the usual pitfalls that you got to watch out for, and you know, it's obviously you can't just keep producing push until there isn't any, because you're going to find out the hard way. A lot of those little things that we've all run into over the years. And so we've been passing on bits of info on, you know, if you get this type of change, it may not work out for qualifying, but if you get that type of change, it might work for both. So he's aware of all this. He's got a pretty good hard disk on his shoulders there, and he's processing a lot as well.
And next, we'll roll into a brief phone call with 2003 Indy 500 winner Gilles Deferrin, who's serving as Fernando's driver coach for the month of May, helping him to learn the 2.5-mile daunting oval. And once we're done with Gilles' call, giving his thoughts on his star pupil's performance, we will end with Fernando's press conference. Trimmed it down, definitely shorter than the 20-plus minutes that it lasted with all the Q&A, so a little bit of a tighter response just straight from him. And that will conclude our wide and spanning look at Fernando Alonso's first run at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
So tell me about the questions he was asking, or the things that he was curious about. Everyone else has told me that he was asking all the right questions, but everyone who said that to me, they weren't drivers, nor were the Indy 500 winners. Driver to driver, were you hearing things that you said, all right, he's getting this, or he's asking the right questions at this stage?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll do a similar thing to what I told Robin. I said, you know, and one thing is clear to me, that his success as a racing driver didn't come only because he's supremely talented, but he came because, you know, his work ethic, his attitude, you know, and his intelligence, you know. So he's very aware and intense person, you know. Wants to learn and understand everything as much as possible. It's really absorbing, his willingness to absorb information is very good. I mean, shall we say, a true professional, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
A true professional.
So what do you envision the next 10 days or so are going to be like? Obviously, he has some great racing to do at home in Spain and all that, but I'm sure he's going to be poring over data, thinking about things, obviously, you know, letting everything soak in. What's the process going to be like for him and you trying to help as he takes everything he gained today and then tries to categorize it, make sense of it, and come back and use it to his benefit?
I think Marshall is just an evolution, you know, learn more about the track, learn more about the car, you know, exploring different things, you know, and as the car evolves, just make sure that everybody's evolving together. I think that's really the key thing, you know, and continue on a nice little progression.
So our boy, yeah. Simon Pagenaud won his first oval race last weekend, which I know was big, yeah, for him. He always credits you as his Yoda, his someone who really greatly helped him when he was wanting to get back to IndyCars, learned a lot from you. Do you like this role of mentor, advisor, and otherwise? Is it something that comes natural to you? Or, you know, we know Simon loved what you did, but I don't know if you're someone who loves this role.
Well, you know, it's a very personal thing, you know. Sometimes you hit it off well, and you know, I'm quite an open guy anyway. You know?
Alonso looked like he was trying to hide from you, so I just don't think he likes you. That's what I'm really trying to say here, Gilles.
Listen, I enjoy working with Simon tremendously, you know. We became good friends with a very good connection, you know. We speak the same language, and you know, it's an easy relationship that way, you know, and therefore rewarding, you know. I mean, I don't have any professional involvement with Simon now for quite a few years, you know.
Yeah.
But we're still friends, and I still care about him, and, you know, and I'm very happy when he does well, you know. I was very happy when he won the race in Phoenix. I thought he did an amazing job, you know, frankly, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's becoming a mentor to other people, you know, a career for me. I don't know, you know. I mean, it's something that, to be honest with you, I haven't given that much thought. You know, I think for me, the opportunity to work, you know, on a more formal basis with a guy of the caliber of Fernando and be involved with a great, you know, company like McLaren and a great team like Andretti is a great opportunity, you know. You know, I consider Fernando to be one of the best drivers in history, you know, and certainly one of the best drivers I've ever seen, you know. So having the opportunity to work closely with him is rewarding, very rewarding, you know, in many ways, you know, because, you know, I still love racing, you know.
And hopefully you didn't just get run over by a car.
No.
Well, day one at least, 110 laps, coach feeling happy or confident, you know, what kind of grade do you give your boy? What kind of message did you leave him with at the end of the day?
Listen, I refrain from giving grades, you know. I'm on my work mode, which is, you know, okay, step one done, let's focus on the next step, you know.
Fair enough.
And let's focus on the next day and, you know, make sure that we have a nice, clear to-do list, you know. And keep evolving. You know, I'm not. How do you say? Even Fernando said that in the press conference. You know, all the emotion now is gone. Now is head down and get to work. You know, and make sure we can do everything that we can as a group, you know, to put him in the best possible situation come race day.
Well, it has been fantastic help from the team. The team has been very, very supportive and very helpful. Not only today, I think the last 2 or 3 weeks, we exchanged so much information every day on emails and things like that, that I think I was able to go into the test knowing more or less, you know, most of the important things on the car and procedures and things like that. Then Michael, obviously, with experience and, you know, the help that he can offer is just something that is very unique. So we feel very, very privileged and happy. Marco, this morning, shaking down the car, you know, making some setup changes already, thinking on how I could feel that car on the first time that I jump in. So, you know, everyone was really looking after me, and you know, together with the people of Honda, we make also some setup work on the engine side with Gilles de Ferran. You know, the last 2 or 3 weeks we've been through many of the things that I was probably facing on this first day, and now we have a lot more things to go through after this test that will be much more useful, because at the moment we only watch races on television and we saw data on the simulator, which you always are not 100% sure if you can trust or not until you test the real car. So I think now we have a lot more things in the pocket that we need to go through. I was concentrating in go-karts and not even dream about Formula One when I was a child, you know, because everything seems, you know, too far away, too difficult to reach. So, you know, I was taking a step by step in different go-kart categories, and then on the single-seater, first the World Series and second the Formula 3000. So, you know, eventually one day you arrive to Formula One and you realize that you are a F1 driver. And probably my first Indy memory will be Jacques Villeneuve win here and then coming to Formula One. Then Juan Pablo doing the same in 2000, I think it was the year. So those were the first memories that I have from this place. So when we came here in Formula One, it was just something special because we were racing first in the States, which is always something amazing for Formula One, and secondly on the biggest place in the world. So I remember coming here, I think it was 2004, the first year that I raced here, and yeah, I was taking pictures of the entrance of the speedway, you know, capital of the world, motorsport, and I was taking pictures. So it's a special place for motorsport in general. So to race here in May and on the Indy 500 it feels quite a big thing. What I felt in the car, it was more or less what I expect. Also thanks to the simulator test that we did in the last couple of weeks. So I think it's quite realistic what you feel there. So more or less what I experienced today, it was expected. What is different now is my excitement of the race itself. You know, I am, you know, very excited about the race. But now that I test the car and I drove the car, I'm much more focused and concentrate on the work in business than the whole thing. You know, so you know, everyone stopped me until here, until this place. So, how excited are you now, and how, you know, what you felt in the car? And I cannot answer, you know, I'm excited, yes, but I want to go down and talk with the engineers about the last few things that we test, you know, so it changed a little bit the way, you know, you prepare the race now after testing the car, because, you know, there are, you know, so many things to go through with the guys, you know, in the technical aspect, that all the emotional aspect is a second priority now. It feels different. I think on the Formula One, the feeling of just the steering wheel with the power steering and all the helps we have, it feels a little bit easier. Also the level of downforce or the sophistication of the Formula One give you a little bit more grip and a little bit more predictable car, so here is just more raw, you know, everything is more racing, so it's definitely faster and different. But at the end of the day, we all started in go-karts, we all started in smaller categories that, you know, probably we miss that kind of feeling when you get to Formula One and you have everything under control, you know, every single millimeter or every single tenth of the second. So here is more driver input, you know, in different phases of the corner or different run to run. The moment I come in to have a great experience, that's for sure, you know, it's something that you cannot miss or you cannot lose that perspective and that target, you know, it's just a, you know, one or the best race in the world, and you are one of the 33 drivers on the grid, which is just by his own, is just amazing thing. So that's the first thing. But you know, after that, you know, when you close the visor on Sunday or in qualifying, you know, you don't like when you are second. So it's the same. In every sport, probably, you know, I'm sure now the NBA players, they are doing the playoffs, so I'm sure they enjoy, they are thankful that they are on the playoffs this year, but, you know, if they lose the game, that day you don't have even dinner, you know, you go to bed and you try to recover for the next day. So it will be the same here. So first priority is to enjoy the experience at the event, but you know, we are all competitive drivers, you know, and when we are there, we want to do the best we can.
You had a little bit of an incident. You got some other kind of drops on the car from some birds. Yeah. So can you did you know those were coming? Or
no,
did you?
I didn't. I didn't saw that one coming. You know, I saw one bird approaching 10-3 in the penultimate run, and I just lift off and avoid the bird. Probably I will not do that on the race day, but today I saved one life there. But I didn't manage to save the other two, that apparently they came out of one, but those ones I didn't notice.